Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody this morning?
Good.
Sermon title today is, "What is most valuable to you?" It's an important topic. But this morning, before I begin, we need to make it clear that if you are a born-again believer, you're in a battle with sin. But if you're an unbeliever, if you are without Christ, you are a slave to sin.
Amen.
Yeah. And you need to repent and come to faith in Christ. You need Christ to completely save you from your sin. You're not in a battle, but you are completely devoted to your sin.
Amen.
It's not enough today for you to leave here and say, "I just need to quit being greedy or covetousness." You need Christ to completely save you. And then you can work on killing sin in your life.
Right.
Amen.
You need Christ to save you. You need Him to transform you. And when he does that, he will begin to sanctify you, to make you more like Himself and to purify you from your sin. So if you are without Christ, the most important thing that you need today is the blood of Jesus Christ to save you.
Amen.
Before I get started, I just want you guys, Kyle got a lot of scripture. You guys don't have to keep up with me. They should be up on the screen. But today, guys, we're going to look at the sin of covetousness. This is one of those acceptable sins in today's society that they say is okay, but in God's eyes, no sin is okay. This sin has taken many before you, and some have even made shipwreck of the faith over. This man in this parable that we'll read today, he's labeled the rich fool. The rich fool. And studying looking at this passage, guys, it got me thinking about our own country that we live in. We are filled with prosperous living. We are overrun with material things. We're so full of stuff and so many possessions that we don't know what to do with what we got.
Amen.
And we somehow think that we need more. Just so we can keep up with everybody else.
Amen.
We live in a society that they devote their whole life to this. What can I get and what can I accumulate? That is their life. That's the only thing they know about life is, let's get this in my life so I can be happy and satisfied. When, as Christ followers, we're not to be satisfied in the world, but we're to be satisfied in Christ. People of the world, they search for the best homes they can find. They get the highest paying jobs so they can make the most money so they can live their luxurious lifestyle. So they can afford the best vacations and they can live their best life now. This reminds me of the rich young ruler. If you look at this, he was interested in eternal life until he realized at the end he had to give up his possessions to follow Christ.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' This young man, full of pride, said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.' He said, 'What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions."
Mm-hmm.
This guy heard the invitation to follow Christ. He said that you must leave your possessions behind, and this man went away sorrowful. How many today, when they hear the invitation of Christ, are leaving sorrowful because they don't want to give it up?
Yeah.
That may be even somebody here this morning. Maybe you've heard the invitation of Christ calling to come follow him, but you're letting your pride get in the way. You don't want to give up this world to follow him. And so many, as this guy, are consumed by what they see. That they are their master and they are in bondage to them. But as born-again believers, guys, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But as Christ followers, we too need to keep guard over this.
Amen.
We don't need to fall into the same trap of materialism, letting this world consume and letting the world consume us. This rich man, he was blinded by prosperous living. And he was focused on what's important in this life. He was not focused on eternal life. This morning, I ask you a very important question. What do you value most in your life? And this is the only thing that each of you have to answer this to yourself. What would you say is the most valuable thing in your life? Would you say that you value Jesus Christ over this world more? And honestly, look at your life. What do you spend your time on, and what consumes your thoughts? Is it growing my bank account? Is it making my life full of ease and comfort so I can have my best life now? Or are you focused on God's kingdom? Those are choices you must make. Those are choices I must make.
Yes.
And it's a thing that we've got to decide whose kingdom are we following.
Amen.
And Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve.
Yeah.
Will you serve Christ? Or will you serve your kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Do we feel like each morning we wake up that we're ready to share the gospel with others? Do we feel like we're ready to have an impact for Christ? Do we feel like that we are ready to work for the Lord in some way? Are our thoughts consumed by our earthly matters? Are we focused on temporary things? And guys, I know most of us in here that we don't want to admit it, but we are filthy rich.
Yeah.
Well, we may not think that we are, but guys, if you look at third world countries, we are beyond rich. You got a house, you got a car, you got food to eat, you got more than most people in the world. And yet, we're dissatisfied and discontent. Listen to what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. He said, listen to the rich man. It says, listen to what he says to the crowd. And Jesus says this parable about the rich man who had it all, but he wanted more. It's in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. It says, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will build my barns and make them greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So it is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Notice first what the man was saying. The man in the crowd, he wasn't worried about salvation. He wasn't concerned about sin. He wasn't concerned about heaven. And he wasn't concerned about eternal life.
Amen.
Notice what he was concerned about. He was concerned about earthly matters. He told Jesus, he said, "Jesus, tell my brother to divide inheritance with me." He didn't want to hear what Jesus was speaking about prior to, about saving faith in Christ. And notice, guys, he didn't ask Jesus to, he didn't ask, "Can you, Jesus, divide this?" He demanded, "Jesus, do this for me." And notice he wasn't even embarrassed to do this. He thought he was ready to meet his need and meet his grief. Could you just imagine you being the guy in the crowd? Just imagine this crowd. They're following Christ. Imagine you're walking in this crowd and you wake up and say, "Hey, Jesus, help me with my greed. Help me with my earthly pursuits. Tell my brother to give me this. I don't want eternal life. I don't want to hear about that." This guy was so caught up with his earthly pursuits that he was consumed by them. And I wonder, guys, as Christians, if we too can become consumed by the things that we see.
Amen.
This man that we read about, the rich fool, he was a materialist.
Yeah.
He's greedy and he's covetous. And he wanted Jesus, a man with power and authority, to make his brother give him his portion of the family inheritance. Jesus didn't do what the man said. Instead, he gave a man a warning. He said, Jesus said, "Beware of every form of covetousness, every form of greed," and then he told a parable of the rich fool. The rich man in the parable was not content in following Jesus. He was content in his life, and he had all these crops and goods, and he had a choice to make of what he was going to do with it all. He could have said, "I thank you, God, for all these crops that you've given me. You give me plentiful, I want to help my neighbor who doesn't have as much as I can." But he didn't make that decision. The Bible says that he says, "You know what I'm going to do? I ain't got enough room for it. You know what? I'm going to get a bigger one. I'm going to store up my goods. It's what I need. That way I can have the best and I can have the most. And I can make a profit on it. If anybody who has less, I can make more." But this guy, he was forgetting several things. He was forgetting God.
Yeah.
He was forgetting others. He was forgetting his mortality. Jesus said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of him."
Yeah.
Yeah. Thing is, guys, when we leave, this stuff's not going with us. It's not going with us. Then who will all your stuff be to? This rich fool hadn't given it any thought of what's going to happen next. Consideration of God and what he might be facing with God. And guys, this could be us.
Yeah.
Tonight, our soul may be required of us.
Yeah.
If you knew this evening that tonight you was going to die and your soul was going to be required of you, would you go home and say, "I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to make this and build that"? Would you make your kingdom more profitable? Or would you say, "You know what? I need to be focused on Christ. I don't need to be worried about temporary things because my life here is coming to an end." We need to take into account of our mortality and what we're chasing in this world. Listen to what I heard John MacArthur say in one of his sermons. He says, "You never see a hearse with a U-Haul behind it, because you can't take it with you." Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And note, guys, I like a different version better. I'm going to be reading from it. It says, "The one who loves money is never satisfied with money. And whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. This too is futile or pointless. When good things increase, the one who consumes them multiply. What then is it the profit to the owner except to gaze at them with his eyes? the only thing we got to do is just sit there and look at them.
Yeah.
What joy is that going to bring us?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your heart this morning? Is your heart consumed by earthly pursuits? Or is your heart sold out and bought out for Christ? Is it focused on eternal things? Our hearts can't be divided. Our hearts can't be, "Well, I want to look at this and be consumed by this and Christ at the same time." We can't have a divided heart. Whatever it is that's in our lives, guys, that's important to us, let it be Christ. Many are laying up treasures on this earth, and that they are given no or little value about God's kingdom or advancing God's kingdom.
True.
Many born-again Christians are doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little effort. If we're saved today, we're to live for Him. And each of us, we will fight this temptation daily. We'll fight earthly pursuits that will make our love for Christ go dull. The enemy, he's hard at work in each of our lives and makes us as busy as possible. He wants to make you as busy as possible so you can become so consumed by the things of this world. You ain't got no time for God. We're in a real spiritual warfare, and He wants nothing better for you than just relax and be eased and have that for you. The enemy wants you to be like this rich fool.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. It says, "Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to Him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Here's another example, guys. Here's somebody who's ready to follow the Lord. He says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Until Jesus said, "You got to leave it behind." What he's saying in this passage is, he's saying, no one who is concerned about earthly pursuits is fit for the kingdom of God. No one who is looking back will ever make any progress forward in Christ. Is there anything in our lives that is killing us spiritually right now? Are we growing in Christ? Or are we content with what God has given us and we're just advancing our own kingdom? More things that won't grow us spiritually. What are we focused on? And guys, I'm preaching to myself today. What really matters to us in this life? That's what we got to boil down to and really answer. What is important? What we do today matters. It is very important. What we believe about God matters. Not only will it affect you, but it will affect the other people around you. It will also affect our kids. What our kids see us giving their time to, they'll give their time to. What are we teaching our kids? Are we teaching our kids to get the best education, to get the best paying job, so you can save up lots of money and you can have the best vacations and the best homes and the best vehicles? Or are we teaching our kids the only thing that really matters in life is if you have a real, true relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we teaching them about who Christ is. And anyone who's got little kids, including me, it's very important what we teach our kids.
Amen.
We're to raise them up in the way they should go.
Yes.
Parents, what ways are you raising your kids?
Amen.
Are you raising them to know Christ more? Or are you raising them to live their best life now? You have great influence over them.
Yes.
Lead by example. If they saw us putting sports, entertainment, or worldly things before Christ, don't expect them to give their all for Christ if they see us giving their all for everything else.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, guys, it's a sin to give sports or entertainment, but when it takes top priorities in your life, when you become so consumed by that that that's all you think about, then it becomes sin. When it takes top priority. When you exalt it above Christ, that's when you made the wrong mistake. James chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is intimacy with God?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever therefore wants to be friends of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in you yearns jealousy, but he gives grace, more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Yes.
The God of the Bible is a jealous God. He will not be shared with anything else. If you don't believe me on that, just go back and read the Old Testament when they made idols.
Yeah.
He destroyed them. God will not put up with anything else over him. He must be the one we desire to worship and to please. He should take top priority in our lives. And the world should have nothing to offer us. All that we see in this life, it will only last for a season. It's not going to last forever. It's just temporary. What are we giving ourselves to? The Bible warns us of covetousness. The Bible actually speaks many warnings about greediness, the love for money, all throughout Scripture. If you've never studied it out through the Bible, read about it through the New Testament. It speaks all about this greediness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. And we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which have some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up with being with the flow of the world. Don't get carried away with greediness that the world says you must be consumed by. You don't have to be consumed by this. You're of another kingdom now. The Bible is a warning us of destruction that covetousness, greediness, and materialism do to us. The sin of materialism can steal your joy. You spend your whole life chasing things that doesn't really matter. Spending your whole life trying to grow your bank account so that you don't spend near as much time storing up treasures in heaven.
Yeah.
And advancing God's kingdom. That's the only thing that's going to last. We have so many possessions, and we let our possessions possess us.
Yeah.
But the issue is not possessions. The issue is our attitude towards God.
Yeah.
The things on this earth have no eternal value. Covetous is a sin that is easy to fall into, but we must battle a sin with all temptation and sin that comes into our lives. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. I may have said this quote before. I know I've put it on Facebook before, but it's a really good quote. It's by John Flagel. And it says, heart work is a constant work. The keeping of the heart is a work that is never done till life is ended. There is no time or condition in the life of a Christian which will suffer an intermission of this work. It is a constant work. We have to constantly keep guard over our hearts while we're not in our lives. This is what we must do. We must guard our hearts and give our all to seek the kingdom of God. We don't need to allow empty pursuits to consume our lives. Do you know our kids? What does your kids know more about? Does your kids know more about video games? Or do they know more about the Bible? And I'm preaching to myself, guys.
Yeah.
None of this stuff matters in this earth.
Amen.
Only this word and knowing Christ is the only thing that matters. What do we do with our lives? Not just our kids. What are we giving ourselves to? Are we working to make the most money we can make so we can live a successful life? Or are we wanting to go on the best vacations? Or are we putting ourselves aside and saying, you know what? There's only one true thing that brings me happiness. There's only one true thing that brings me joy, and that is Christ.
Amen.
Even when you have it all in life, you always want more. Even if you think you have all the earthly pursuits, you're always going to want more. It's kind of like drinking salt water. The more salt water you drink, the thirstier you'll get. And the more earthly pursuits you get, you know what? That ain't going to be enough for you. You want more. You let greed and discontent get in your way. Let's live our lives invested in Christ and His kingdom. Slay up treasures in heaven where nothing can destroy us. But maybe here this morning you have never truly trusted in Christ as Savior. I encourage you to really consider your life. What will you give in exchange for yourself? Will you let earthly pursuits and satisfaction of your flesh get in the way of you being surrendered to Christ and following Him? Or maybe you made a profession of faith, but it's not genuine. You know that your profession of faith hasn't been real. Today is today to fully surrender to Him. One day, guys, whether we like to believe it or not, death is coming. It's coming for me. It's coming for you. It's coming for each of us. And we don't know when that day will be. But it is a certain. The wages of sin is death. And we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We must give an account for the things we have done on this earth. After this life, we will see Christ. And the only thing that matters is my life hid with Him? Where is your life? Do you have true saving faith today? And this only you know.
Yeah.
You know whether you have been playing church or not.
Yes.
You know whether you have a life that is fully devoted to Christ. Guys, don't play church any longer. Be fully committed to Him and devoted. Be surrendered to Him. If we're honest, guys, our whole lives, all we've done is sin. And we need a Savior to save us from us.
Amen.
Would you come to Christ today and let Him save you? If you feel the drawing power of Christ, don't push it off any longer. Your good works can't save you. I don't care how many good works you do in this life. You can be the best at doing good works. but it's not saving faith.
Amen.
You must come to Christ.
Amen.
You must look to Him as we stand to our feet. Everybody bow your heads. First off, I want to talk to the lost person in here. What in this world is worth chasing and losing your soul over? That's the most important question you must ask yourself. What is more important to me? What sins do you love so much that you want to stay in bondage to instead of being set free in Christ? He offers you forgiveness and salvation today. It is not enough to be a good person. Everyone in here is a sinner, and it doesn't matter if you consider yourself to be a good person. Even the small sins are sin in God's eyes. God is holy, and He must punish sin. If you need salvation today, why don't you come to this altar and humble yourselves and say, Lord, be merciful to a sinner like me. God, I've strayed in my life, and I've not given my life to you, but today, God, I want to be fully committed and devoted to you. If that's anyone in here today, if you feel God tugging at your heart, come to this altar. Don't reject His loving mercy, because tonight your soul may be required of you.
Yeah. Amen.
And if your soul was required of you tonight, how would it go for you? Do you feel safe about your eternal condition with Christ? If not, come and make it right with Christ.
Yeah.
What about the church? Have you been consumed by the things that doesn't matter? Are you spending most of your time in the things that don't advance God's kingdom? Do you see in your heart that you're struggling with covetousness in some way? Wanting what others have. Don't have to be just for money. Has your love for Christ been diminished lately because of busyness that has kept you from spending time with God in prayer? Come to this altar and have a forgiving God who is all merciful, who is full of grace, and lay up treasures in heaven where you can advance in His kingdom. There's still time to come to the altar. As we'll be going with these.